Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Daily New Year's Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Bollinger, and today's episode, we're going to be getting kind of sciencey. So we're going to be talking about focus, clarity, how to train your brain, how to reduce stress and anxiety, and just how to improve your overall performance in any area of your life. So really, we're going to be talking about neuroscience, or as I like to call it, brain science. And before you tune out or switch off the podcast, let me assure you, we're not going to be getting overly technical, overly scientific. We're going to be talking about things that you can actually do at home and at work to improve your overall mindset and just your mental health. And be sure to stick around to the end of the episode because I have an exciting limited time giveaway just for you guys listening to the podcast. So be sure to stick around for that. So this conversation takes us to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where we're going to be talking to Nick Volheis, who is the Vice President of Clinical Services at NeuroPeak Pro, which is a company that focuses on enhancing human performance through neuroscience. Nick has extensive experience working with teams and athletes in the NBA, NFL, and NHL. He and his team have also worked with numerous professional golfers on the PGA, LPGA, and Korn Ferry tours. Nick has also worked with several Olympic athletes and professional tennis players who were looking to maximize their brain performance, and he's spent several years leading neuroanalytic evaluations for prospective NBA draft prospects. How cool is that? Beyond his work in the athletic realm, Nick has led teams that conduct corporate evaluation and training programs designed to promote and improve employee wellness initiatives. Nick has also aided executive search firms in the pursuit of high-ranking candidates. He has a strong clinical background focused on working with individuals of all ages and dealing with issues related to focus, stress, mood conditions, and sleep concerns. So this episode is going to be incredibly informational, and I cannot wait to dive into it. So Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Austin. Really, really glad to be here today.
Absolutely. So, you know, you work with a company called NeuroPeak Pro, and I know you emphasize, a lot of your efforts are in like brain science, peak performance, and just a lot of different things. So before we dive into the episode, can you talk a little bit about yourself, your story, and how did you get into this industry?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, as oftentimes in life, it's who you know. So I've been with NeuroPeak for a little over 13 years now. And we actually got our start as a small psychology practice in West Michigan. And I knew one of the psychologists who started the practice. I'd known him since I was a teenager. So I came on board very shortly after they started the office. At the time, we primarily worked with kids with ADHD, learning issues, anxiety, more of like a clinical setting. So that's where our roots are, is helping folks with diagnosed issues. And as time has gone on, we now work with, it's pretty much a 50-50 split, children and adults, because we all deal with a lot of the same issues. And then from that, just kind of organically grew a peak performance division, because you don't need to be diagnosed with something to improve your brain health and your brain performance. So yeah, kind of a unique route to where we are today.
Absolutely. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about just kind of the approach that you all take at NeuroPeak Pro and kind of what you emphasize in when it comes to optimizing brain health and just performance and things? What are some of your focal points?
Yeah, so having those clinical roots, we are really big in understanding what we're working with on the front end. You know, so often today, people want a quick fix or self-help needs to be fast. But we actually say, hey, you know, let's slow down at the very beginning here. Let's understand what's going on in your brain and your autonomic nervous system, because then we can probably develop a better training plan for you. If we don't have that good baseline data, we really don't know what we're working with. When we work with somebody who's maybe looking to improve their focus or their stress, I want to look at their brain. So we use what's called QEEG technology. We look at the electrical current in your brain. And we all have brainwaves. We all run on electricity. Some people don't realize that. We run on electricity.
Yeah, we're computers.
We are. And so we have slower brainwaves and faster brainwaves. And a lot of times, if you're not focusing well, it's because your brain is going too slow. It's wanting to check out or rest. So we have the ability today to be able to quantify that and measure it. And say, hey, based upon your age, you should be firing here and you're over there. So we can give you some quantifiable data. So we go beyond just, I think Johnny doesn't focus very well, to Johnny's not focusing well because he has too much activity going on at 6 hertz in his brain. So if we quantify and identify what we need to work on, then the training plan that we set up is going to be much more effective. We have that good baseline data.
Absolutely. And you talk about the brain being a computer. We've all got neural pathways. I know I've read things before too, that the older we get, if we kind of stay in the same groove, so to speak, we don't really open new neural pathways, and some can even start shutting down. And there's ways to actually activate and create new neural pathways in the brain. Can you talk about that a little bit? And how can we do that how can we do that in our everyday lives?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a little depressing. Data shows us that our brain begins to shrink by about 0.5% after the age of 40. So anybody over 40, it's like, no, your brain literally is shrinking right now. You're losing surface area. But the cool thing is well into late stages of life, our brain is still producing new cells every single day. So to your point, what are we doing to cultivate and fertilize those new cells is really the key. It's not like our brain just dies off as we get older. It's not reversible. So we spend a lot of time talking to people about staying active. There's tons of great research on activity will ward off memory loss. And it can also help them with depression and focus. Nutrition is a big thing that we talk about as well. That's the fuel for not just your body, but your brain. We spend a ton of time talking to people about sleep. You've got to get enough rest. If you're not resting enough, that is a crucial thing for us. And so those are the main three kind of curriculum things we'll walk through with folks and developing goals for people. And then we also do a lot of what's called biofeedback and neurofeedback training, where we go in and we can specifically target those pathways and change how the neurons fire and create new pathways in the brain.
Absolutely. I think I was talking to a gentleman a few days ago. We were talking about how when you kind of close off your network and you're always talking to people that you already know, you're talking to people that share the same worldviews that you have, you kind of stay in your own lane, so to speak, that really kind of shuts down your brain too. But when you get out and you start talking to people that have a totally different worldview to you, maybe even one that you strongly disagree with, those types of things start firing new synapses in the brain and creating new pathways.
Well, it's kind of like physical exercise. You know, if you actually are doing proper physical work, if you do the same workout every day, your body kind of adapts. So if you do your same 3-mile jog every day, I mean, yeah, that's probably better than just laying on the couch, but still you need to mix in the cardio, the anaerobic, the aerobic, the weights. It's the same thing with the brain. You're right. If you get stuck in the same rut, you will just refine that firing over and over and over. So that's why when we talk about training somebody's brain, there is this period of time where we're basically trying to unlearn old habits before you can learn new habits. And so that's why we oftentimes will see a little quicker change when we're working with somebody who's younger, because maybe their habits aren't as ingrained as an older person.
Yeah, you kind of contrasted it to exercise. I know, I forget the age, but for like men, our muscles start to atrophy at like the age of 26 or something. You know, they if you don't exercise consistently, your muscles start to shrink, they start to lose tissue faster. But we can combat that through lifting weights and exercise. So it's not that when you hit 26, it's just all downhill from here. You can combat that. So we can do that with our brains too, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, right about the time when we've reached our physical peak in males, the brain has finally developed. The frontal lobe is finally developed by our early to mid 20s. And so that's why we start to make better decisions, hopefully, by that age. So it is really cool to think about how mentally, neurologically, we do develop differently, even than physically, but they all can be trained at any age.
Absolutely. So what are some exercises that people, you've talked about stress, anxiety, focus, what are some exercises folks can do at home without the help of your computers and your feedback machines to improve focus or to reduce stress and anxiety?
Yeah, you know, I think the hardest part for a lot of people is just getting started. And so I always like to use the 10% rule. And what we're employing here is not a lot of rocket science for people. These are a lot of things we've probably heard before, but we always try to package them in terms of how it helps your mental health, not just physical. So we typically say, I would sit down with somebody and say, hey, what are you currently doing right now? What does your activity look like now? It could be just as simple as, how many steps are you getting? Okay, can you give me 10% more? If we're going to touch base with you next week, can you move 10% more per day? Most people look at that and be like, yeah, I can do 10% more. Okay, great. So give them something achievable. They're going to see if they can do it. Because if I've got somebody who's pretty sedentary and they're doing like 1,000 steps a day, to get them up to the recommended 10,000, if I say, hey, I need you up to 10,000 by next week, they're never going to start. They'll be defeated right away. So give them 10%. They see how easy that is. And the next week, I'm going to ask them for 10% more. So it really is just identifying where somebody is at and asking for just a little bit more. And I mean, it's really, truly could be as simple as just getting up and walking. That's a huge start for a lot of the folks we see. But if we've got somebody that though that's already doing really well, we'll then set up some very specific cardio exercises that they can be working on that will stimulate different neurochemicals in the brain, trying to produce chemicals that will, again, act as the fertilizer in our brain to help those cells grow. And a lot of it just gets back to cardio and some mild weightlifting or weight training can go a really long way for your brain health.
Awesome. So what are some other areas in our lives that we can apply the 10% rule to? Can we read 10% more, maybe engage with social media 10% less? What are some other areas we can apply this?
Yeah, you hear all those things, and you know, we're at an interesting time as we record this right now in this country. We're all kind of forced to be home.
Right.
And so one of the things we talk a lot about with our clients is mindfulness and even gratitude. You know, sometimes these things kind of come across as a little soft. You know, we're pretty big into science and data in our company, but then there just is this part about, you know, just being mindful about where you are and what's going on, being grateful for things, just kind of stepping back and unplugging. There's actually some really interesting data out there that looks at the correlation between screen time and your mental health.
Really?
So yeah, so we talk to people all the time about getting off of your phone. And again, it can't be this go cold turkey. That's just not the way our world works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we say, hey, if you can unplug an hour before bed, one, it's going to do some things chemically to your brain to help you to fall asleep. But social media and all that's actually very socially isolating at times.
Absolutely.
So the less time you are on your devices and you're getting up and moving around is huge. Nutrition's another big one. We actually had a challenge going on at work before we were all forced to leave our office for the next 2 weeks, where we were challenged to put down our phones for 10 minutes a day and drink water. Drink, you know, a couple glasses of water during those 10 minutes to hydrate properly.
Right.
That's huge. So substitute something that's maybe not as good for you for something that is positive.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been using an app. I'm looking on my phone real quick. It's funny. I'm using my phone to use my phone less, but there's an app on Android called Flipped, and that's FLIPD. And it's pretty neat. So you can go into focus mode and once you enter focus mode, you can dial numbers if you need to make an emergency call, but you can't open email, social media. Rebooting the phone won't work. It'll remember and keep you locked out. And I've got an app similar to that on my Mac. And so I've actually had to, because notifications are always pinging in, things are always happening. So I've actually had to use technology to help me focus and avoid that technology. And so there's a lot of tools and resources out there that I think people can use to increase their focus. And for me, increasing my focus leads to less stress and anxiety because I become more productive and I'm not on this hamster wheel of just responding. So do you have any apps and tools that you like to use?
I'm not a big app guy, quite honestly. I know we do have a ton of apps that we recommend folks. I'm not familiar with the Flipped one. That sounds really cool. You know, kind of a hardcore version of the Do Not Disturb on your phone is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you can't undo it once you start it. So it's been a game changer for me. And you talked about drinking water. I'm also using one to track water intake. So I'm historically bad at drinking water. I drink coffee all day. I get home and I have a couple beers. And so now I'm trying to drink 115 ounces a day. And it's been hard. But it's also been, it's been pretty cool. I feel differently for sure.
No, that's the thing is if you are intentional, that's a word we use a lot, is just be intentional about this. And really the apps that you're using, those are great. We talk to people about accountability all the time. And that's right. Really, I think what your apps are, is they're your accountability partner. So when we're working with folks, we encourage them to find somebody that they can be accountable to on this. And whether it's us, because they're coming in to work with us, or they've got somebody who's going to start to work out with them. But it is just that holding you to it is the big thing. Because like you said, we can be the hamster on the wheel pretty quickly, just getting into reactionary mode. But if you're intentional and then you hold yourself accountable to whatever it is you decide to do, that's a huge thing. You know, you mentioned the coffee and beer. If that's your only liquid for the day, yeah, probably not the best combination. Yeah. You know, moderation is crucial. And we do have a lot of conversations about nutrition with people. And nutrition is a really touchy subject for a lot of
folks. It is, yeah.
So we typically take the approach of trying to add good things into your diet before taking out the bad. Because those are our comfort foods. And if we are stressed or we're having trouble focusing, our body naturally is going to want to go to like the sugary sweets, all the bad stuff. So we actually have these different charts, and you can find these charts online. They're in apps of brain boosting foods. And so we figure, hey, I'll sit down with somebody like, hey, are you eating anything on this chart? Now, okay, why don't you just start with blueberries? If you can just start to eat blueberries every day, those are great for your brain. And we figure, hey, if they start to fill up on the good stuff, they'll have less and less of an appetite for the bad stuff. So we're a little tricky in how we talk about nutrition as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to Google that really quick because, you know, I've heard of superfoods that are just great for your health, but I've never really heard of brain boosting foods. So I'm seeing pumpkin seeds, walnut, dark chocolate, tomatoes, blueberries, avocados, broccoli.
It's not all bad stuff, you know, and it's pretty common stuff that you can introduce fairly easily into your diet.
Yeah, oily fish is something I have heard of because you got those omega oils in there that are really good for the brain. So that's cool. Adding stuff in before you start taking it away. So then, you know, I talk a lot of times about the fear of loss. I talk a lot about goal setting. So a lot of people will refrain from starting something because they fear they'll have to lose something else. You know, if I start going to the gym every day, am I going to lose an hour of sleep? Am I going to lose an hour of family time? But if you can add things in without taking things away, you're not really losing anything, at least at first.
Exactly. And then your priorities change. And, you know, to the whole point of the conversation about improving focus, if you're doing these things to improve your focus and your productivity, you're going to find you actually have more time in the day because you're not wasting it as much. And again, therefore, you're not going to lose out on those important things.
Absolutely. So shifting gears just slightly here. So, you know, sometimes people, I remember a story about my sister when she was very young. She didn't know she had bad eyesight because she didn't know what good eyesight should look like. And so we started noticing things like we would point stuff out and she wouldn't see it. So they finally got her eyes checked. and her eyes were terrible. So they got her glasses, and I remember her saying, "Wow, that's what that is," or "Wow, those are cows out in that field." But she didn't know. So some people may not even know that they're having focus issues, stress issues. What are some warning signs that people can be like, "Oh, wow, that's me. Maybe I should focus on improving some of this stuff."
Yeah. That's the problem with focus is sometimes you aren't aware as to kind of how everybody else functions because you're kind of in your own world. So sometimes it can actually come from somebody else. Like if you're constantly hearing from those around you, like, "Hey, how come you're not keeping up? How come you're struggling to get this done?" That would be an indicator. If you notice that you're not keeping up with folks as much. I think morning routine is a big time. A lot of times people are like, "Hey, I'm just not a morning person. I'm not productive. I don't get anything done until I've had my 3 cups of coffee, or I'm not productive until after lunchtime." That's a focus issue probably, but it could actually be caused by some sleep issues that you're having. You know, if you're getting good quality rest at night, you should wake up ready to go in the morning. So if mornings are very difficult for you, I'd be concerned about your sleep and or your ability to focus. Or for folks as they're maybe, you know, starting to age, get into that next stage of life, as they're finding that things they were able to do are not coming as easily as they used to, or they think that they should, you might want to talk with somebody about it. I mean, there is a natural aging process, but it should be very subtle. And if it seems more noticeable to you, should definitely be worth looking into.
Absolutely. My wife and I argue a lot about the quality sleep thing. So she's an unwind at night with TV kind of girl. She wants to have the TV going. She sets the sleep timer. So when she falls asleep, the TV will go off later. And I actually wear an eye mask to block out all light. And I wake up in the morning ready to go. And like you said, she's got to warm up for the day for, you know, an hour, hour and a half. And I've told her, I'm like, if you could read before bed or do something different and cut out the screens. But that's a conversation I don't feel like, or an argument I'll never win. But it's something that I've noticed too.
Yeah, good luck with that one. what you could get her would be the orange tinted glasses that are becoming pretty popular, because all that blue spectrum of light from our TVs and our smartphone, that really does impact your circadian rhythm, and some chemical releases are related to melatonin. So if you're not going to win the battle of having her turn off the screen before bed, at least get her some of those glasses to block out the blue light, and that can help with her sleep as well. You see a lot of that with athletes. More and more teams are making their athletes wear those glasses on the road to keep their sleep cycle better.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard of the glasses. Do they also make like screen protectors that will filter it out too?
They do. Like a lot of computers now will have those filters built right into them as well. But probably not as many TVs yet have it.
Yeah.
You got to wear those cool glasses.
Yeah, you mentioned sports and athletes, so I want to dive into this a little bit. You have a background, a lot of experience in working with professional teams, NBA, NFL, NHA, PGA, all these different industries. So what's that been like?
Oh, it's fun. You know, it's a blast. I grew up loving sports. My dream job growing up was to be the general manager of the Detroit Lions.
Nice.
I could be the one to save them, but gotten older, that's not going to happen.
At least not in that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. So this is the next best thing. Again, it kind of happened organically. We as we were going about our clinical business, our clinical practice, we just started to have some athletes reach out to us, made some different connections. And like I mentioned before, you know, the work that we do to help a child with ADHD can be applicable to a high performance athlete who just wants to get that extra edge and focus a little bit more. They have crazy lifestyles. They're traveling all over the place, and then they have to perform at the highest level. So they're looking for every little edge they can.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, pro athletes are just wired a little bit differently, that they are naturally more focused or more high performing. But, you know, if they're reaching out and needing help too, then that just goes to show that these, you know, stress, anxiety, lack of focus, these types of issues impact everybody alike.
Yep, they're still humans. And yeah, they, some of them are wired different than the rest of us. And that what, that's what makes them elite. You know, when we're working with an athlete, working with a PGA golfer, helping them focus just a little bit better could be worth one or two shots over the course of the round. That might not seem like a lot, but that's huge over the course of a weekend tournament. And you're talking potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars by just hitting one better shot per round.
10% better.
That's huge. There you go.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Cool. So do you have any, I mean, you probably can't name drop, but do you have any cool stories that, you know, it, from that, from your experiences in pro sports?
Well, it's always fun when we have athletes that are doing well, and we had a pretty good season this past fall on the PGA Tour. We had several guys that won some tournaments. We had some of our guys played in the President's Cup. We have several NFL quarterbacks that we work with. Two of them made the playoffs, played against each other. That was a very difficult time for us as an organization. Who are we rooting for?
Sure.
you know, but we just got some great folks that we work with too. And I think that's the thing I always share with our staff is, you know, sometimes you think athletes might be difficult to work with, but we've been pretty fortunate that some of the athletes I get to engage with are the nicest people, and they're the friendliest. And, you know, we have some staff that are maybe a little starstruck at first, but then you meet these folks. No, they're genuinely appreciative that we are a part of their team that's working to help them achieve greatness. And so that's the fun human side of it too, that they're just normal people in a lot of ways. And we just get to be a part of helping their success.
Yeah, it's cool. Cause I mean, you know, athletes and celebrities, they've got their nutritionists, their trainers, their coaches, and then they've got their, you know, their brain optimization team too. So that's just neat.
Yep. Yeah. No, they come up with some interesting nicknames for some of our staff. Cause there's not as many brain folks out there. So it's always fun to learn new nicknames for our staff.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've talked about nutrition quite a bit. And one question that I want to ask that kind of got sparked by the omega oils when I looked up the fish while ago, but do you recommend any kinds of over the counter or just, I can go to Walgreens, any supplements or anything that work really well?
Yeah. So when you do the supplement route, you do want to be careful. There's a lot out there.
Right.
And, so we're pretty particular, not only about the supplements we recommend, but we encourage, if you're going to spend the money on supplements, to get the good stuff. Really, when we look at supplements for performance, I'm also really interested in memory. That's where we really talk about supplements a lot, is maintaining cognitive functioning. So the omega-3s are huge. And usually you want to do those in very high levels to get traction. Vitamin D is really crucial. We look at vitamin D for a lot of folks. And then some different combinations of vitamin Bs and folates are really important for cognitive health. So those would probably be like the three main things: B folate combo, vitamin D, and then omega-3 is what we typically recommend.
Of course, getting it in your diet is always the best place to go. I know there's some people out there that highly doubt the effectiveness of supplements and vitamins.
Because usually they're not buying the good stuff. That's not going to, you know, do a whole lot. And a lot of times it comes down to dosing. Are they taking enough? Because a lot of these things, I mean, there's plenty of other different vitamins, you know, magnesium, those types of things. Depending on what your diet is, you just simply can't get enough of it. So, again, we spend a lot of time on the curriculum talking to people about this. And as you start to analyze what you're actually eating, you do realize in a lot of instances that supplementation is going to be important because you're just not going to get enough in your regular diet.
Awesome. So one question I like to ask all of my guests that come on the show is just, if you could ask the listeners to do one thing to, whether that's self-improvement, health improvement, whatever it is, what's the one thing you would ask everyone to take action on?
Sleep. As a society, we do not take our sleep seriously. We almost wear it as a badge of honor. Oh, I can get by on less sleep.
Right.
But if you look at the athletes that are doing it right, they talk about sleep and recovery all the time. So as a society, quality and quantity of sleep is really important.
Yeah, I think I read something somewhere that said we as a society today get on average 1.5 hours less per night than we did just 60, 70 years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, really, truly, most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. We're getting by on 5.5, 6. So some people, they have jobs, they have schedules that, it's just very difficult for them too. So I look at, okay, make sure you're getting good quality rest. Don't fall asleep with the TV on, you know, all of those types of things. And really deep down, is your schedule really that bad where you can only get 5 or 6 hours of sleep? Or are you making choices that are not allowing you to get to bed on time
right at
night? Are you choosing to stay up late watching that one extra show or that one extra movie? I always tell people, hey, as they're working with us in our program, if the only thing that improves for you is your sleep, that's a huge victory because it's going to impact so many other things.
Absolutely. Concentration. I think, you know, when we, the less sleep we get, the more agitated we become. And so,
that can impact
everything.
True for me. We think about those immediate things. If I get a good night of sleep, I will wake up feeling better tomorrow. I'll be more refreshed, sharper. One of the main reasons we sleep at night is memory loss or memory consolidation. There's a very common thread with our memory loss patients. A lot of them are very poor sleepers, and they have been for years. So there's that long-term consequence. If I'm not sleeping well at night, it's going to impact my memory.
Yeah, because when we sleep, that's kind of when your brain is cataloging all the memories from the day, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're kind of locking in, we're engraving those memories into our brain. But then also, it's kind of like a cleansing period for the brain as well. There's different chemicals that are released in different stages of sleep that act really as the cleaning mechanism for the brain to get it sharp, polished, ready to go for the next day. So if you don't have that cleansing occur every night, things will kind of get gummed up in the brain and it won't be as sharp and ready to take in new things the next day.
Absolutely. So if somebody's trying to change their sleep habits, you mentioned this earlier, we want everything to be fixed overnight. We want instant results. How long can someone expect to, do I need to try to improve my sleep for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks before I start seeing a significant difference in my life? Or is it a pretty quick turnaround?
No, I mean, you can see results, I would think, the next day. We've all, I think, experienced it at different times. If you're used to getting 6 hours of sleep and then for whatever reason you got 9, like 50% more than you're used to, that next day, you can feel a difference right there. Now, it'll be short term if you go right back to your 6 hour cycle.
Right.
But if you kind of get into that routine of getting an extra hour, that just adds up very, very quickly. And you should notice that right away, realizing too that if you can extend that for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and just make that your new habit long term, it's a crucial thing for your memory too.
Night owls versus early risers. I hear some people saying that's just all on how you've trained your brain. I've heard people say that we've all have very natural rhythms that we can't really alter too much. Where are you at in this camp?
No, I do think that we do have different rhythms. I mean, we've got it in my household with my wife and kids and me. There's a few of us that are in different cycles. And so there's that. Actually, I just read some research recently looking at performance in athletics. And how these folks that tend to be night owls, I believe, will perform better than the early birds in late games. But then the early risers tended to perform better in day games, which is for baseball. Well, that kind of makes sense. If you know your natural body clock wakes you up early, you're going to probably peak earlier in the day than if you're more of a late peaker. But no, there's things that you can do then to impact that. I know for some of our golfers, as they were going to go down to Australia for the President's Cup this fall, we were like, hey, your body clock will get impacted. So here are some things you should be doing in advance of flying down there to help with the jet lag and adapting and all that. So long answer, I think we do have different rhythms that we have naturally, but there are things that you can do to kind of temporarily impact them.
Sure. Yeah, I've never been a night owl per se, but I used to stay up later and sleep in till 7:30 and hurry up and race to work. And over a course of a couple years, I slowly would slide it back 30 minutes at a time. So I started getting up at 7, did that for a few months, 6:30, did that for a few months. And then now I get up at 4 most weekdays, but I go to bed at 9:30. But and people are like, that's crazy early. But I retrained my brain over the course of a couple years. I didn't just start doing that.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of us would do well going from 7:30 to 4 overnight. When I have those early morning wake up, I'm a morning person, but I got to get on an early flight. The 4 a.m. wake up calls are never good. So more power to you for doing that.
Thanks. There's you talk about not getting enough sleep. There's a local realtor here in town that gets up at 2:30. I don't know what time he goes to bed, but I'm like, man, you've got to be hurting yourself somehow.
Hopefully he's going to bed at dinner time. That's about the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, I don't think he does, but I'm like, man, you need some more sleep, dude.
Yeah, I would agree.
But like you said, he doesn't walk around boasting about it, but I think it's a point of pride. Like, I get up at 2:30 and I can get all this stuff done. But yeah, the long-term effects of that can't be good. But
yeah, no, there's those few anomalies out there, but unless you're saving the world and curing all disease, I don't know why you need to wake up at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Roll back over for 4 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything that you wanted to talk about today that we haven't touched on or that I haven't asked you?
Boy, I feel like we've had a pretty wide ranging discussion about all the main things that that we talk about with our clients all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, where can people find out about more about you, your company? Where can people connect with you online?
Yeah, so we always love to send people to our website, neuropeakpro.com. We've got a lot of great resources on there, different training options we have for people, different evaluation options. Got a lot of great testimonials on there. And then we're quite active on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well, neuropeakpro. We're located in Michigan and Florida, but most of what we do is all mobile. So we're basically everywhere all over the world. So wherever your listeners are located, we can probably engage with them somehow.
Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Like you said, it was wide ranging, but I think sometimes those are the best conversations instead of really zoning in on one thing. And I think we covered a lot of useful tips and tricks for people. Brain science always intrigues me because there's so many studies out there. There's just so many interesting things. I think I read in a book one time that, when you can easily memorize some things but not other things, it's because your hippocampus tries to collect data that's related to other data. And so when you get into a completely new category, there's nothing for your hippocampus to connect it to. And so I read about that and I'm like, that's wild. You really have to repeat some of those things until it sinks in. And then as that sinks in, more things will more easily connect to it. And so there's just so much out there as it relates to brain science. It's just always fun to talk about.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a fun field. And I look at the gains we've made in the field in the 13 years I've been here, and I just get excited about what we're going to learn in the next 13 years. It's an ever-changing and evolving and growing field. So love talking about it.
Absolutely. Well, I hope the listeners get a lot out of this. And again, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thanks, Austin. Take care.
You too. All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Nick Bolheis of NeuroPeak Pro. Man, I hope you all got as much out of that conversation as I did. I know that I've recently been doing a lot more content in kind of the mental health, brain, neuroscience, sleep, nutrition, kind of just overall health topics lately. And I know that Daily New Year's is typically more about, you know, goal setting and becoming better every day. And I just think that our minds are such a big part of that. You know, how can we be high performers? How can we focus on long-term success, crushing our goals if our minds aren't right? So getting enough sleep, focusing on like meditation and just eating right and just overall health and wellness, we can't be high performers, at least not for very long, if we're not taking care of our brains and our health. And so lately, I've just been really drawn to this type of content. And I hope as listeners, as goal getters, that you're resonating with this content too, especially now during the COVID-19 crisis. You know, we're here in the United States. It's just now ramping up. Everybody's going on lockdown, getting stuck inside their houses. And I know that people are consuming a lot more content. They're a lot more stressed. There's so much more anxiety. So now this episode, I think, is more timely than it probably ever could have been before. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're stressed, you're dealing with a lot of anxiety, I hope that this episode did a lot for you. I hope that you get a lot out of it. And even with the crisis aside, I think the tips and tricks and strategies and just overall health advice that we learned in this episode is applicable any time of the year, no matter what's going on. We've got to take care of ourselves. So I hope you got a lot out of it. And if you did, as always, please consider sharing it with family, friends, coworkers, anybody in your circle of influence that you think might enjoy or resonate or just frankly need to hear this content. Please consider sharing it. And if you're listening on a platform that supports reviews, please give me a review. That helps get this content out in front of other people who could benefit from it. So I greatly appreciate it. And if you are sitting at home and you're kind of on lockdown, now might be a great time to head over to my website, dailynewyears.com. I've added a link to the main menu called Free Worksheets. So I recently published my best-selling book, Crush Your Goals, and with that book comes 29 free worksheets that are geared towards maximizing your performance and jump-starting your goals. So now for a limited time, whether you've bought my book, Crush Your Goals, or not, I'm giving away those worksheets. I think now is a great time if you're stuck at home to focus on yourself. Take these worksheets. They're very guided. They're going to guide you all the way through building the right mindset, all the way through to setting your own goals, setting up a support network, and learning how to deal with difficulties. So now is the time to grab these worksheets. Head on over to dailynewyears.com/goal-setting-worksheets and grab those today. All right. I hope you enjoy them. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And until next time, take care.